Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey. I like that. Pastor Adam.
Pastor Adam.
It's like a game show.
Yeah.
With no prizes.
You have to switch it up and keep them thinking.
You do. You have to. You have to do it. I believe you. I like you.
Thank you.
It's good.
So today we're on episode 252, and we started a new series last week. It's called Stop Borrowing Trouble.
Yes.
And we thought it was really good.
It was really good. It's a really good... it was more than an intro, right? But it was an introduction to the topic. But we talked about like why it is that we worry. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a really good one. And so, yeah, the title of this series is Stop Borrowing Trouble. Today, we're going to talk about what if I don't have enough, right? So the premise of the series is worry and anxiety. And the real thought is why do we worry about things that we shouldn't worry about, right? So And you'll see once again where the title for this is coming from. It's coming from a particular piece of scripture. If you want to get there, Matthew 6 is where we'll be. Anyway, the thought is that we spend time carrying burdens that God never asked us to carry and worrying about things that we really should not be worrying about. And so we're talking through those things. And so today's is going to be about us sitting around worrying about what if I don't have enough, right? What we're talking about is one of the oldest fears in human history. It's this, what if I don't have enough fear? I call it the provision fear, right? What if I don't have enough money? What if I don't have enough savings? What if I don't have enough retirement? What if I don't have enough security? What if I don't have enough to meet my needs? And that's not really talking about what if I don't have enough to meet my needs today. It's really talking about what if I don't have enough needs? What if I don't have enough to meet my needs tomorrow? Or in the future. That's what we're talking about. I've been pastoring for a long time. Me and Steph were just talking about this. Mm-hmm. About 26 years. And I can tell you that for many people, this is not an occasional concern, right? It's consistent. It is very persistent in the background. It's a constant fear and worry about what if I don't have enough, mainly money, in the future. For decades now, finance is one of the leading causes of stress for Americans. So when we talk about just general worry, one of the top ones of those general worries is finance-related things. And all the stuff around us, you know, rising costs, inflation, you hear that going on all the time, debt, right? Job uncertainty, housing prices, economic instability, right? Gas prices, all that kind of stuff. It leaves many people asking, well, what if I can't provide in the future? Like, what if I lose my job? What if something unexpected happens? What if there's an emergency? What if this particular thing breaks, right? What if this appliance goes out? What if there simply isn't enough in the future? Money is what we're talking about. To provide for my family or to handle these things that are going to come up or to sustain me in retirement or, you know, to care for myself and those that I care for. Well, if there's not enough. And just so you know, before you jump on some weird place where you're throwing rocks at wealthy people, money worries don't discriminate. Pretty much everybody worries about money. Poor people worry about money. Middle class people worry about money. Wealthy people worry about money. As a matter of fact, wealthy people have a higher tendency to maybe have anxiety about finances than poor people do. So it knows no bounds, right? It's not discriminating. And that's because money was never designed to carry the weight of our security, right? The worry is when we're worrying about these things, when we're going, what if I don't have enough? It's because money is what we see as our source of security. Money was never designed to carry the weight of our security. Only God can do that. Like, only God can carry our security. Only God can be our provision.
Exactly.
And he's the one that can carry that weight. Money, your job, how well you save, none of that was ever designed to carry that full weight. It's not that you don't work. It's not that you don't save. We talked about the last episode. nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to not prepare for the future. Consistently in the Bible, you're told to prepare for the future. What you're told not to do is not to worry about the future, right? And so money's not that thing that can carry that weight. You got to have it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's an inanimate object. It's not like it's evil, right? But God is the only one that can carry the weight. We're going to go back to one of my favorite passages in Scripture, which is Matthew 6, known as the worry chapter. If you are a person who has struggled with anxiety in your life, you probably know Matthew chapter 6 very well. There's some really good stuff in Matthew chapter 6. We started talking about this last week, which is where we get the title from this whole episode, right? Where Jesus tells us not to be going into the future and borrowing the worries from there and dragging them into the present. And so let's just jump into this one because he's going to talk about it. Go to 25, Steph.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?
All right. We're not supposed to worry about those things.
And
that's the verse you grab, right? With anxiety, that's the one you grab, right? You grab the don't worry about these things. Your life is more important than these things. Don't worry about these things. The most important word in that verse is the first word. What was the first word of the verse, Steph?
Therefore.
Therefore. All right. Therefore is the most important verse. When you're reading the scripture and you see the word therefore, you need to ask, here's a cool trick. You ready, Steph? You'll like this trick. When you see the word therefore in scripture, you should pause and ask, what is it there for? Right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Why is that word? What's that word there for? The word is therefore so that you look at what came before it in the scripture. It's an indicative word to tell you, pay attention to the context. So Jesus is going, therefore, don't worry, right? So what's the reason? What's the context of not worrying? It's the most important word. And so what's going on before this? Jesus has spent a significant portion of the Sermon on the Mount, which is what you're getting recorded there in 6 and before. He spent a significant portion, right, about a third of it, talking about treasures, possessions, and masters. You could very easily, when we talk about treasures and possessions, throw in the word money as a catch-all in our current culture. He's been talking about that a lot. And then he says, therefore, don't worry. He's pointing out that anxiety about provision often reveals where we believe our ultimate security comes from, right? You and I sitting around worried about God providing or provisions in our life or the needs that we have, right? Or that question, what if I don't have enough for the future? It is showing us where we believe our ultimate security comes from. We believe our ultimate security comes from having enough, right? Or it comes from money, or it comes from our jobs being, you know, solid or whatever it is. And now watch what he says next. Look what he says in 26, next verse, right?
Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?
All right, cool verse. So he goes, he's saying, like, the part you're going to take away from that is, are you not much more valuable? Well, of course you are, right? He's going, of course you're much more valuable to the Lord than the birds, right? But what's really cool about that verse is when he preaches this, they are outside. So when he tells them, hey, look at the birds, he's probably pointing to them, right? Like a right on point, like just perfect preaching illustration where he's saying, you know, all these things about money. And then he's going, don't worry about these things. And he goes, look at the birds, right? And he's pointing up, pointing at the birds, right? And so look outside, right? What's the scripture telling us to do? Look outside, look at nature around us. Birds aren't lying awake at night staring at the ceiling, worried about if they're going to have enough money in the future, right? Birds aren't doom-scrolling financial news, right? Birds aren't checking their retirement portfolio every 15 minutes, right? Yet, what's Jesus pointing out? God feeds them, right? Like, they're not sitting around dragging all the troubles from tomorrow in today. They're not borrowing all the trouble from the future in today. And yet, what is God doing? God is their source of security, and God is providing and feeding them. And so now make sure you see that Jesus is not teaching laziness here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he points out the birds, he's not telling us to be like them in every single way Like, but he's not telling you that birds are lazy, right? Birds work hard. You ever watched a bird? They never stop working. They gather constantly. They're building nests all the time, repairing nests, fixing nests. They're searching for food all the time. They never stop.
Hummingbirds.
Never stop. They're feeding their young, right? They're taking care of the next generation. You know what I mean? Like, they never, ever stop. Pay attention to birds when it's storming outside. You won't see them. They're hiding. But then watch what happens when the sun comes out. Next thing you know, they're going back to work, right? If you watch them, if you happen to have some snow at home, watch the birds hunt around and try to find some food and try to find stuff during the snow. Them birds are working really hard. So Jesus is not teaching laziness here. But notice also they're working hard, but they don't carry the crushing burden of believing that the universe rests on their shoulders, right? And that's what we are doing, right? We're going, when we worry about what if I don't have enough, and we talk about money, we're sitting around like thinking to ourselves that all provision in my life rests on my shoulders to be able to provide enough for myself, do well enough for myself, save enough for myself, right? Birds aren't lazy, they're working, but they aren't sitting around feeling this innate pressure that if they don't do enough, if they aren't enough, if they don't build enough, buy enough, you know, save enough, that the world's going to come crashing down. But most of us do that. Like, we're sitting around thinking that that's the case. There's this great quote. I just said crute. There's this great quote from one of the church fathers, Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation. He says, "I have held many things in my hand, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess." Right. That's true. In other words, when it's on me, I can't do it. Right. But when I put those things, when I trust God as the source of whatever those things are, then I still have them because God can handle that weight. Let's talk theologically for a second, and then we're going to not talk theologically at the end. Worry about provision is often rooted in a distorted view of God. So when you and I sit around worrying about not having enough, it is revealing theologically that we have a poor view of the Father. We have a poor view of God. Like maybe what we're thinking is, or what we're feeling, and sometimes you can't even say this, it's just a natural thing. Like, for example, I'll get to my list in a minute, but for example, we tend to project without even realizing it, our earthly father's good habits and bad habits onto our heavenly Father, right? So if you had a father who was absent, you tend to, without even knowing it, picture a heavenly Father who's absent, right? If you had a father who was harsh, you tend to, without even realizing it, project that harsh image onto the heavenly Father. Right? If you have a father who is loving and caring, you tend to have not as big a problem seeing God, the Father, right? God Almighty, as a loving and caring and available dad. Does that make sense? Right? Mm-hmm. If you've got a father who is distant, right? Which, by the way, is a lot of people. If you've got an earthly father that's distant, you tend to think of God as a distant, all-knowing, big, huge being who's not really involved in the day-to-day, right? Because you didn't have a... So, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
when we talk about this theologically, what you're getting is when we worry about provision, it's this distorted view of God. So maybe what we really are thinking, and we don't even realize it, is that God is distant, or God is indifferent, or that God has more important things to worry about, or that God doesn't really care about my needs or my future or the things that I'm going to need or whatever, right? Like, it shows this distorted view of God that we have. But if we're going to keep thinking theologically, then we got to look at the fact that Scripture repeatedly reveals God as provider consistently. And there's just a few examples I'll give you, but they're all throughout the Scriptures. Like, for example, Abraham called the Lord Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And that Jehovah phrase, we just taught on this at Easter time, that Jehovah phrase is what we're getting to. That's Jehovah is a translation that has come from Latin into English where we get the word Jehovah. But if you back it all the way out, where that translation ends up coming from, and I don't have time to talk about it right now, but if you back it all the way out, what you get is the term that we have said, Yahweh, which is God saying, I am. And it's the name that God gives himself, right? I am, that he gives directly to Moses. And so Abraham is saying that he is Jehovah Jireh. The other way to say that is God is, I am provider, right? It's beautiful. God is consistently referred to as provider in the scriptures, not some distant, indifferent, doesn't care about your needs that we might have projected on him because we've got this fear and this worry about provision, right? Another example of this, and there's tons of them, is what Paul writes in Philippians 4:19. Steph, do you have that one pulled up?
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus.
So God will, Paul's talking about God meeting all your needs. In other words, him being provider. And notice what that said is it said all your needs, not all your wants. We do not want a God who provides all our wants. We mm-hmm. want a God who provides all our needs. If we had a God who provided all our wants, he wouldn't be a very good God because we want all kinds of stuff that's not good for us, right? Yeah. Like a parent who gives the kid everything they want is a bad parent. You hear
right.
me? Like if you're listening right now and you're the parent who says yes to everything your kid asks for, you're a bad parent, right? Because they don't know what is good for them, right? Like we say no to our kids more than we say yes because they don't know what's best and they got lots of wants. Right. But we are consistently providing for their needs. Right. I just had this conversation with Madeline the other night. Right. Last night, actually, we've had it a bunch. But last night, just had this conversation with her. So at 1 o'clock for Father's Day after church, 1:30, 2 o'clock, we went and had lunch. Right. For Father's Day. And we went to Pangea, which is this Asian joint. It's a weird Asian joint, though, because they serve all kinds of stuff. And we had this big lunch for Father's Day. And then we go home. I don't have to work Father's Day evening. So we go home. And then me and Valerie decided to go for a ride. So me and her go for a ride. We come back. It's like 7:30, 8 o'clock. We walk in the door. And Malin has done made herself some ramen noodles. And so I said, Malin, why are you making ramen noodles? It's dinner time. And she's like, I didn't know where y'all were. And I didn't know if we were eating dinner. And I said, all right, first off, you just had a big lunch, and what comes after lunch is dinner, right? And when's the last time that mom and dad didn't feed you dinner, that we don't talk about dinner, that we don't have dinner? Like, never in your whole life, right? Do we always provide dinner? Yes, right? Because that's a need. And we're sitting here talking about it. I was like, because that's a need that you have, and mom and daddy are going to meet your needs. You know what I'm saying? But we ain't going to meet all your wants. You know what I'm saying? So when you want McDonald's for dinner and we say, no, we're having broccoli salad, then that's what we're having for dinner. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're meeting those needs, not wants. And so if you are a parent who is just meeting wants, you ain't a good parent, right? So notice that Paul's referring to God being provider and providing for our needs because he's a good God, right? He would not be a good God if he was providing for everything we wanted, right? Most of the stuff I want's bad for me. All right. And it's a good thing he don't provide it because it would be bad. But he also is providing all these needs. So once again, the scripture theologically is reminding us repeatedly that God is the ultimate provider. In other words, provision comes from the Lord. We live in a culture that is designed to convince us that contentment is always one purchase away, always one thing away. And that is that's in our culture because it's designed by the enemy to make us think that our ultimate source of security will be found in something that's not God, right? And it's just one little thing away. It's just one raise away. It's just some more money away. One little thing, right? If I had, then I'd be. See if you can put your own stuff in there. Like we think about this all the time. If I just had this, then I'd be happy, then I'd feel content, then I'd stop worrying, right? If I just had a little bit more money, then we would have this and I would be less worried, or I would be content, right? If I just had this item, if I just had this car, if I had just had this thing, then I'd be. But have you noticed that the finish line keeps moving? So if you actually got the thing that you said, if I just had, that whatever it promised, it doesn't live up to it and it doesn't last long enough because the finish line, like enough never arrives, right? Content never fully arrives because it's looking for contentment and provision in the wrong place. Go back to the text. Go back to verse 27. So we're just keep going through. Look at what he says next.
Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?
Short verse, powerful verse. That is a rhetorical question that he asks, right? So think about him in terms of having this big Sermon on the Mount. He's talking, he's preaching, he's done pointed up to the birds, right? Everybody's in it. They're like, oh, yeah, I see the birds, right? And then he comes back down and he goes, by worrying, can anybody? He's like, look around. Can you add a day to your life? Are you going to get extra life because you worried, right? And it's obviously a rhetorical question. So the whole crowd is like going, no, right? It's just everybody knows the answer is no. It's obvious. Like worry, listen, especially if you're that person who's, this is your worry. You're thinking, what if I can't provide in the future? Like, what if I don't have enough? Worry ain't never paid a bill,
mm-mm,
right? Worry has never created provision. Anxiety feels productive because it occupies our minds, but it isn't. See, people that are ridden with anxiety, they feel like they're being productive in those moments because their mind is very occupied, it's very alive, it's very active, but it's not producing anything. Every anxious thought is ultimately asking this big theological question: God, can you really be trusted? Right? All the anxiety we have about, do I have enough in the future? Do I have enough money? Is this going to be okay? Is there enough? Underneath that is this big theological question: can I really trust you, God, to provide? And that's what Jesus is drawing us to when he brings up those birds. Those birds ain't asking that, right? There's this innate thing in God's creation, right, that's not mired in our sinfulness and our freedom of choice, that the birds are just, they just know. Like, they're working hard, but they just know that God, nature, provides, right? And so that big question is what's going on. I mean, I know, let me make sure I just pause for a second, because I know that some of you listen to this right now. I know that this is not just worry, right? Like, it's just not some abstract thought. You've got stuff to actually back this up. Some of you listening, you've lost a job, bills have piled up, the debt is crushing you. And so I'm not trying to minimize your pain. God's not trying to minimize your pain. Jesus is not either. He's not saying your problems aren't real. He's just saying that your Father is greater than your problems. He is greater than the needs and worries that you have. That's what Jesus is pointing out. He's not minimizing the human condition. We talked about this in the last episode. No part of Jesus ever minimizes human fear, worry, suffering, right? None of that. He's just bringing up and reminding us that God's bigger than these things, right? God's bigger than those problems. If you jump down in this section, we'll come back and cover the other ones in the future episodes, but if you jump down to verse 33, look what he tells us to do. So this is the antithesis to worry. This is the solution to worry. He's telling us what to do instead of worrying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 6:33.
But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
All these things, when he says all these things, he's talking about needs, right? All these needs will be met. And so what does he say seek first? He doesn't say seek money first. He doesn't say seek security first. He says you seek God first. You seek the kingdom of God first. In other words, the will of God, what God wants, Jesus' kingdom on earth, right, and in heaven, that's what we're supposed to seek first. The remarkable promise of Scripture is not that life will always be easy. The promise is that God sees, God knows, God cares, and he'll always be faithful. That is the remarkable promise of the Bible, right? Nowhere does it say it's all going to be easy and you're going to get everything you want and everything. That's why I hate prosperity gospel, because it's such heresy, right? That everything's going to be perfect and there's not going to be any problems on earth and God just wants to shower you with all your wants. I hate prosperity gospel. It's such heresy. That's not the overarching promise of Scripture. Yes, God blesses, and yes, there are blessings, and yes, we're supposed to seek blessings. But the promise of Scripture is that God sees us, he knows us, he cares about us, and he will always be faithful as Jehovah Jireh, right? As the Lord provider. And that is referring to our needs. That's the theological take. Now, if we take a second and we put the theology down for a minute and we pick up practicality, this is how we're going to end this episode. Or a better word for this is experience, right? Put down the theological lens, pick up practical life experience for a second. Just look back for a minute. Like in the first episode, I think I made you pause and think about what you're worried about. Let's just look back over your life for just a second. Everybody just pause and go, okay, I'm X years old right now, and I'm just going to think back through my life real fast. How many times has God carried you? How many times? Too many to count. How many unexpected provisions has he supplied for you? How many times have you had a need and somehow or another that need just seems to be met, right? Through a person, through something random. Like, how many of those things have happened? Just think back through your life. How many doors has he opened? You know? How many times when you needed a job, somehow or another a job came along, right? It may not be the one you want. You may hate it now. You may think now that it's a curse, not a blessing, but how many doors has he opened? Think about this. How many times did you worry about something that never, ever happened? How many times? So what we're doing now is we're not going theologically. We're going practically, right? Look back at your life and think about how many times God came through as Jehovah Jireh, as provider. And also at the same time, how many times did you worry about stuff that never, ever happened to begin with, right? And maybe some of those things you worry about that never happened, maybe they never happened because God is a provider of your needs, right? And he cares, and he knows, and he's involved. Your history with God should strengthen your trust in God, right? This is why the people who have walked with the Lord, that have been Christ followers longer and longer and longer, they should be the least worried people on the planet. And I saw that somewhere about 6 months ago, and I was so convicted by it. I was like, you know what I mean? Like I saw that somewhere, and I'm not wording it the right way, and I don't even know who to quote it to. But it was like the people who have been Christ followers for the longest should be the least worried people, right? And I was like, oh, man, that's tough because I've been following Jesus since I was 8 years old. And I have been in full-time ministry since I was 20 years old. And I've been faithfully preaching his word and learning and studying for years and years and years. I mean, I preached 10,000 plus times, right? And I was like, man, because I feel like I'm just full of worry. See, your history that you have with God, it should strengthen your trust in God because the same God who provided yesterday has not changed today. And the more yesterdays you have to look at and go, God provided, should influence today and say, I'm not going to worry because God's going to provide. I'm not going to be lazy. The birds work. But I'm not going to be stupid. The birds are smart. But I'm not going to be worried because I've got this long history with God where he's continually proved himself to be the faithful God of the ages, rock of the ages, provider. See the difference? So the difference is what we do is we grab, this is what Jesus is talking about in the scripture. We grab the trouble from tomorrow and borrow it, right? Which we should stop doing. What we ought to do, though, is borrow the faithfulness from the past of God and drag it into today.
That's better,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right? That is a better setup. So we prepare for tomorrow. That's biblical. But we don't borrow the worry from tomorrow. Jesus says don't do that. What we do instead is we go into the past and we continually grab the faithfulness of God providing and we drag that into today and let it squash the worry that we have about tomorrow. If you're worried about provision today, right, here's what you need to do. Number one, do what you can do, right? What is able and up to you, you need to do it. You work hard, right? You get after it. If you are worried about provision, the first thing you do is you make sure that you are doing something about your current state. Colossians would say it like this, that you are carrying your own responsibilities. You're carrying your own book bag is the picture, right? You're bearing that weight. So you work hard. You get after it. You also budget wisely, right? You sit there and you don't just fervently, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't remember. Anyway, I can't get it out of my mouth. I'm trying to say, frivolously, right? You don't frivolously spend money. You budget wisely. You do what you can do. You plan, right? You work hard and you plan. You be the bird that Jesus is pointing out in Scripture. But then also, number two, you refuse to carry burdens that God never intended you to carry. And the worries of the future is the burdens he never intended you to carry, right? You refuse to do that. Your future is not resting on your shoulders alone. So feel that, right? Your Father knows what you need before you ask him, Jesus says. So stop borrowing the trouble from the future, specifically regarding provision and money. Stop borrowing the trouble from the future and dragging it into today. Go back into your past experientially, right? Personally, and grab all the times that God was faithful and provided in your past and drag that reminder into today, right?
That's Shall we say stuff. Frivolously?
Frivolously. I got it.
Grab the faith from the past.
I was like frivolously.
Words with Pastor Adam.
Yeah. we don't want to do that series. Anyway, yeah. This is a consistent worry with human beings, and it's specifically Americans. It's this fear of money and provision and things. Mm-hmm. And it is not one that we have to carry. We work hard, we provide, we prepare for the future, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're supposed to. Scripture talks repeatedly about this, right? Like, that you, a wise man saves for emergencies, for droughts, for rain, right? A wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, right? Like thinking in the future, thinking generationally. What is going on with my mouth?
Generationally.
Thank you. Generationally, right? That you're preparing for droughts and famines, right? You're preparing for emergencies. You're preparing for the future. You're thinking about retirement and those things. Yeah, of course, right? But that's preparing for the future. That's okay. Worrying about the things in the future is not.
There's a difference.
Right. Barring the trouble from the future is not. That's the differentiating line. You know what I mean? And so.
You're right.
If that's you today, do what you can do. Work hard. Right. But then refuse to go barring the future and go carrying burdens that God has not intended for you to carry. The worries of the future and tomorrow are a burden that Jesus is saying specifically here that God carries and he's capable of carrying. It's not ours to carry. Right. So we can do real good. So maybe what you need to do when you finish listening to this episode, don't do it while you're driving because you might wreck. Go outside and find you a bird and just look, right? They give us a real good example of what we're really supposed to be. And then don't forget that Jesus says, they're just a bird, that God loves you infinitely more. That's what he's implying.
And you're
right?
Valuable.
All right, he's implying that they're just birds. We eat birds. You know what I'm saying? Like, God loves you so much more than that. And so if he is the faithful provider for the birds so much so that they work hard, but they know it's going to be there next, if that's the case, and he loves you that much more, then don't you think that he knows you, sees you, cares for you, and will provide for your needs like a good father, a good parent, a good mama would, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is a good episode.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've already said this, but another good idea, too, is write this down somewhere. Like, reflect on some times in your life, like big or small, where you've seen God provide.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's always a great reminder.
Absolutely.
That's a way to practice gratitude.
Absolutely. Those are the things. So there's something, maybe we should talk about this on a future episode, but that's something about modern Christianity and the modern church that we don't do well. But if you look back at our Jewish heritage, and you look back in the Old Testament, you'll notice that God continually commands them to have official ways in which they remember God's faithfulness, right? Mm. Stones, festivals, feasts, all kinds of stuff, right? And then if you look at the Jewish faith, it's built on all these remembrances of God's faithfulness in the past. And they're constantly conjuring those things up for the future, right? In the current, and remembering constantly, right? Remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God, right? Who brought you out of, who set you apart here, who provided for you in the wilderness constantly. And so that Jewish faith is set up in a way that constantly reminds them of that so that they can drag that faithfulness from the past into today, knowing God provides for tomorrow. Our modern church and our modern Christianity doesn't do this well at all, right? We call these things markers, like mark the moment, mark the day, like you were just saying, write it down so that you can remind yourself God is faithful. He was faithful before. He ain't changed, right? Like, he's not been the one. I've changed. He ain't changed.
Truly.
Right? And so he's the same. He's the same he was yesterday, today, and forever, which means he will be faithful in his character. See, this is a character thing with God. Like, we need to pay much more attention to God's character than we do just God's actions or whatever.
True that.
Right? You know what I mean? This is a character thing with God. And he's the one who actually has real sustainable character built. He has real integrity, right? So he's the same. And so, you know, when we have character flaws and character issues, he ain't got those. So he ain't going to just all of a sudden in the future not be a provider where he was in the future because his character is flawed. That's not the case. He don't have character flaws. So you just got to be reminded of that. And so I think our current American culture, our current Christian culture, could do a much better job of let's mark that God was faithful and let's bring it up all the time because it reminds us, it takes away that erroneous theological thought that I can't trust God or can I trust God. It reminds us that we can trust God. He's got this. So, and he cares about us and he provides needs. Cool episode.
Yes.
Yeah, cool episode. I'm excited about the next one too because it's the one that I think I struggle with the most or I have in my life. I think next one is the question, what if I fail?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a worry that we should not be carrying. We should not be worrying about. We're going to talk about that next. So, what were you thumbing for? What were you looking for? Can you say it?
What I was thumbing for?
Yeah, you were looking through the old notes.
I was just seeing how many papers I had.
I thought you were looking for something. You were like, oh, I want to say something we said in the past. But
I thought you meant I was giving a thumbs up. I was like, I don't know what it was about.
I meant thumbing like
through the papers. Yeah, yeah. No, I was just seeing how many we had here. It's like a little short novel.
Random pile of stuff. It actually would make a very good book.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool stuff. Anyway, ain't nobody got time for that. I'm barely holding on, Kelly. I ain't got time to write no books.
Nah, we'll let the others do that. That's fine.
I'm having a fight for time to read books, much less write them. So. All right, we'll see you next week.
See y'all next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.